Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center, Orlando's direct diamond importer and the exclusive jeweler of the Orlando Magic, hits the road now.
Broadcasting live inside the Orlando Magic Studios, here's your host, Aaron Berlin.
I play with the best guys in the world, and tonight I can't lie to you, it was a good performance. Just out there, I wonder how you keep getting all these crazy shots, but this is the night.
I'll tell you what, there are a lot of crazy shots taken in last night's game, and it seemed like at one point James Harden was just like, dude, give me the basketball. I'm going to chuck up a shot from anywhere, half court. It doesn't matter where that dude was shooting from last night. He tallies 60 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists, becomes the first NBA player ever to record a triple-double while also posting 60 points. And oh yeah, he also became the Rockets' all-time leading scorer in a single contest, and his Rockets topped the Orlando Magic 114-107. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about James Harden. Magic attempt to go back-to-back tonight as they host Los Angeles' Lakers. How about the Lake Show? 19-30, 17-16, away from the friendly confines of the Staples Center. They've been on a little bit of a run. They roll into the AC on one of their best runs of the campaign, including wins in four of their last six contests, and they're 8-3 in their last 11. That includes wins over Boston, Indiana, and San Antonio. Meanwhile, the Magic, well, they watched James Harden go for 18 points in the final 12 minutes of last night's game, and the Magic were tied at 107-107 after a most Bates bucket. The problem, those Rockets went on a 7-0 run to close the contest, and the Magic never had much more than a puncher's chance. We'll talk about that more coming up here in a matter of moments. Well, that is our show here on Magic Drive Time, presented by International Diamond Center. We kind of talked about it all in the second segment of today's show. Tanya Ganguly of the Los Angeles Times will join us to talk about those Lakers. She is a beat writer for them. She covers them. What is Lonzo Ball like? What are their plans heading into the trade deadline? And also, what does this Lakers team plan to do over the course of the summer? It'll be an interesting one here in segment number two. Hey, just a reminder, today marks the on-court debut of the Orlando Magic City jerseys by Nike. The design featuring edges of light bordering our universe invite you to go further, go higher, be limitless. Swing by the team shop at Amway Center Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. to get the jersey now. SpaceX launched. It's got a space theme. The Magic are in action tonight, and here's what our hot topic is.
What's trending now?
Harden guarded by Shelvin Mack. Wheels around him, throws it up. It's in. That's it. Let's go home. This guy's unstoppable.
When I look at James Harden, I look at him as the heir apparent to Kobe Bryant. When I look at James Harden, I look at him as an MVP to be.
Something's cooking. Something is cooking.
So what is greatness, right? How do you define it? How do you notify it? And how do you recognize it? Because honestly, I think last night we witnessed what greatness in the form of an NBA basketball player looks like. 60 points, 11 assists, 10 rebounds. 6, 11, and 10. Remember those numbers because those are noteworthy numbers that James Harden put up last night. And a lot of times when we talk about what the MVP is, who the best player in the NBA is, we all center on two guys, right? Because those are the two guys that have for the last three seasons represented their teams in the NBA Finals. LeBron James, Steph Curry. Steph Curry won back-to-back MVPs. LeBron has carried his team to, what is it, 7 straight NBA Finals. But the guy that we don't talk enough about, the bearded wonder, James Harden, I thought put on a display last night, Sam. And I thought when you look at everything that he put together, it was what greatness is defined as. He gave his team the basketball, and he did what he needed to do to put his team on his back and win.
You know, and that is not the first big game he's had this season. We've seen multiple performances like this. Last night, he just took it to a completely different level. And this was the kind of thing that we saw from Russell Westbrook last year, triple-double after triple-double. But no one but Harden has ever done it with 60 points. Unbelievable.
You know, and a lot of times I think when we talk about the MVP conversation, we are skewed more towards stats and less what an individual player means to their team. Last night, James Harden saw that his guys were tired, they were fatigued, and a shorthanded Rockets team just didn't have a lot of fight in them. And this Magic team last night came to play, and they put everything they had into that basketball game. But when you have a great player like James Harden is, well, those guys just say, stand on my shoulders, go with me, give me the basketball, and I'm going to do what I got to do to get us a win. And we posed this conversation before our show today. Is James Harden the league's MVP? I think it's as simple as that. 407-447-2145. And Sam, you told me to take a look at these numbers earlier today because you are a big advocate of Basketball Reference, and I think it's a fantastic site. But they do a percentage chance on what each individual player's opportunities are at the MVP race. And after looking at James Harden, nobody else is even close.
Yeah, that's a pretty sweet chance with as many games as we have left in the season, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. 59% probability for James Harden, 39%, or hold on. It's 18% for Steph Curry, 5.5% for Giannis Antetokounmpo, 4.5% for Kevin Durant, LeBron James, 4.3%. The dude is carrying the MVP race if you go by these totals.
Yeah, I still think Giannis has it within him to put up somewhat of a fight to Harden. The thing that could hurt Harden in this is if you look at the amount of games started, it is about 5 to 10 fewer than the other guys in that race. So if he is going to miss another little chunk of the season, we have seen that affect voting in the past. But as far as player of the year, no doubt, James Harden.
Absolutely. 42 games of his team's 49. He's averaging 31.6 points per game. He's shooting an effective field goal percentage of 54%, 39% from three. I don't know how you sit there and you say anybody else is even close to him in the MVP race after what we saw last night. Well, the Magic are getting set for a 7 o'clock tip time tonight as they welcome in those Los Angeles Lakers. We'll talk about that and more coming up here in the second segment. Just a reminder, the Orlando Magic do have a new podcast. It is called the Orlando Magic Pod Squad. Every 2 weeks, our four guys from Fox Sports Florida, Dante Marcatelli, Jeff Turner, as well as David Steele and a guy by the name of George Galante sit down and we have in-depth interviews. Last week's show featured John Hammond talking about the NBA trade deadline and what Orlando's opportunities are heading into February 8th. All you got to do, go to iTunes, search Orlando Magic Pod Squad, subscribe, rate it, redo it, and then send it to all your friends and make sure that they do it as well. On the other side, we'll talk to Tanya Ganguly on the Los Angeles Times. We'll talk about this Lakers team and where they're at moving forward. All that on the other side.
A lot of people talk about clarity, they talk about color, they talk about the size. The cut is the most important.
International Diamond Center owner Keith LeClaire talks about the most important of the four C's, the cut.
The way the diamond is cut is 60% of the value.
Keith says it's like comparing two men who weigh the same but don't look at all alike.
One may look like Tim Tebow and the other one looks like me. I highly recommend you stay with Tebow.
International Diamond Center.
Buy the one that looks like Tim Tebow.
Exclusive jeweler of the Orlando Magic.
These guys are trying to do the right thing. You know, our guys, you know, all of our guys are. You know, they're trying to do the right thing. They're trying to stay in the fight, and they're competing. You know, it's just falling short.
Magic fall last night thanks to a Herculean effort by James Harden. We just finished up in the first segment talking about, is he the MVP? What are your thoughts? 407-447-2145 is the call-in number. 407-447-2145. Magic trying to go back-to-back tonight. They host the Los Angeles Lakers 19-30, 7-16, playing some of their best basketball of the season. And that's what we talk about here in segment number two. And we are kindly joined by the Los Angeles Times' Tanya Ganguly. And Tanya, first off, I guess, you know, welcome back to Central Florida. Has anything changed since the last time you were here with the Orlando Sentinel?
I left a long time ago. So
quite a bit then.
I mean, some things have popped up here and there. I mean, the arena's in a different place. But there's that.
Well, a good friend of ours over at the Orlando Sentinel, Josh Robbins, sends his kind regards. But I guess this Lakers team that you're covering now, a little bit different than covering the Magic. They come off a tough loss at the hands of the Toronto Raptors. This is a team that has now had 2 days off. What's going on in Lakerland with this team?
Yeah, well, they you know, before that game against Toronto, they had won 8 of their last 10 games, which was on the heels of a 9-game losing streak. So they were feeling pretty good. And they'd had a lot of success against Eastern Conference teams. They were on a 4-game winning streak against teams from the East. Toronto's just such a good team, and the Lakers just weren't, you know, they didn't have it, everything would have had to go perfectly for them to beat Toronto, and they would have needed the Raptors to make some mistakes. And the Raptors were pretty locked in. They shot threes well and just took advantage of the Lakers defense. So there's been a few, I mean, the way the schedules are this year, there's so many days between games. So they've not played since Sunday, was it? And so, you know, they stayed an extra day in Toronto, came down yesterday. They're still without Lonzo Ball, and that's kind of where they are right now.
Yeah, and we'll talk about Lonzo in just a second, but you kind of mentioned it. This Magic team has dealt with kind of the same schedule that this Lakers team has when you talk about the number of days between games. I can't ever remember a January where the Magic had this many days off. I think they've played 12 total games this month, which is unheard of. Usually you're around 16 or 17. I mean, as far from a player's perspective, they have to like having those extra days off, right?
Yeah, I'm sure that there's the reason that the league did it is because they wanted to get rid of playing. They wanted to stop playing so many games in such a short amount of time. They got rid of the 4 and 5. They got rid of a lot of their back-to-backs. There still obviously are back-to-backs, but they've reduced the number of them. It's better for the players' bodies. The thing, though, is that it makes these road trips really long. So they've been gone. They've been gone for almost a week now, and they've only played 2 games. So, it just makes a road trip really long, but it is less taxing on their body.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, talking with Tanya Ganguly of the Los Angeles Times. She covers this Lakers team, which is in action tonight against the Orlando Magic. It's a 7 o'clock tip time down at the AC. No Lonzo Ball tonight. He will miss his 8th straight contest. I guess, what are the early returns, at least from what you have seen with Lonzo Ball, and how has he been received in Los Angeles so far?
I mean, when he's out, people appreciate him a lot more because he doesn't fill up the stat sheets all the time, but he's very important to how the Lakers want to play. He moves the ball. They move the ball as a group a lot better than when he's there than when he's not there. And they've adjusted to that a little bit. They lost their first 8 games that they didn't have him because he also had a shoulder injury earlier in the year. And then since then, they've sort of started to figure things out. So it's an injury that was not treated like a long-term injury at first by the Lakers, but it's definitely, it's a multi-week injury and they're not going to rush him. So the team has really had to try and figure out how to operate without him.
36 games, 10.2 points per game, 7.1 assists. He's shooting 30% from three and about, I want to say 38% from the field goal range, if I'm right there. But when you look at it, I was reading a quote by Julius Randle, who has kind of had a little bit of a resurgence this month, at least when you talk about going from the bench back to the starting five. And he gave a lot of credit to the rookie in Lonzo Ball. He says he thinks that this team will be better when he gets back. And he says that from his perspective, Lonzo helps him. That's a lot of praise for a young rookie that's still, I mean, when you look at the general perception, he's got people calling him a bust already, which I don't think is fair at all. He's a point guard in the NBA still trying to figure it out. But that just shows how much confidence his teammates have in him.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. They like playing with him. They like how he approaches things. It's honestly like his defense has been just as big as his offense in terms of what helps the team when he's on the court. So that's something that surprised a lot of people is how willing he is to work on the defensive end.
Before we talk about Julius Randle, before I get there too much, because I think what he has done this month has really helped not only his stock going into this summer, but also the Lakers in general. I want to talk about Kyle Kuzma. This is a guy that this Lakers team got at the back end of the first round, a guy that a lot of people skipped on. And when you look collectively at his numbers in his rookie season, they are fantastic. But it does seem like of late, at least when you look at his numbers individually in the month of January, that he has started to hit a little bit of a wall. Is there concern that maybe he's feeling a little bit fatigued midway through the season?
Well, every rookie is feeling fatigued at this point in the year. You're approaching the All-Star break. They've never played so many games. And Kyle has more mileage on his body than a lot of these guys because he played 4 years in college. So, or he played 3 years in college, he's played a lot of games, in his, to this point, and he's never had to deal with the rigors of the NBA schedule before, which is what all rookies are dealing with right now. So for Kyle, from just a Lakers perspective, if you look back to Brandon Ingram last year, Ingram didn't play nearly as many minutes as Kyle did early in the season, but he still hit a point where he was just exhausted. There's too much going on in his mind and there was just too much for him to deal with. And then he got to the end of, he got to the All-Star break. He went to the the Rising Stars game, he had a break where he just got to get away from it, rest his body, not deal with basketball. And after the All-Star break, he was much better. And he'll even talk about how it helped to have that mental and physical break and how much he really needed that.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's been a lot of fun to watch him so far this season, and that story in general with them getting him as late as they did and him being as successful as he has been a fantastic one to watch. And now we kind of pivot and we go towards another guy that seems to finally start to get his footing right, at least with this Lakers organization, and that's Julius Randle. And you look at his numbers since, I'm wanting to say January, 15 points per game and 14 starts this month. It's a guy that seems like he's playing a little bit tougher. He's playing a little bit more the style that Luke Walton wanted to see early on.
Yeah, you know, with Julius Randle, the start of the season was difficult for him because he wasn't starting. He had been the Lakers starter anytime he was healthy until then. And Luke Walton benched him, brought him off the, you know, brought him off the bench in favor of Larry Nance Jr., wanted to see more out of him than he was getting, wanted to see some more toughness, wanted to see him adjust to what they were asking for him defensively. It was all a motivational technique. Walton feels like Randle plays better when he feels disrespected or when he's angry. So he tries to get Randle in that mentality as much as possible. So that was part of what they were doing. And he's had an up and down year, but he's lately been really good, both with sort of setting the tone physically and with sort of what they want to see from him defensively.
I was going to say, Tanya, because, you know, right now, at least I would think mentally, Julius is probably dealing with a lot. You know, the first thing you type in a lot of times when you put in the Lakers and it's not Lonzo Ball, it's Julius Randle trade rumors with everything that this Lakers team wants to do this summer. How has Julius dealt with that with just about 2 weeks left to go until the, or really it's about a week and a half until the NBA's trade deadline, and his name continues to come up? Have you had conversations with him about that?
I mean, it's not something that's not going to affect players. They've talked about it a lot. I mean, he doesn't say that. He doesn't talk about this being something that impacts him, but they've talked about internally about not listening to that, not letting that affect you. The Lakers have made pretty clear that to teams around the league that there's only three players that aren't available in trades, and that's Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, and Brandon Ingram. Anyone else, they're willing to at least listen. And that doesn't mean they're giving away, guys away, but they're willing to listen. They're willing to consider making deals for anyone else. Yeah. And Randle and Jordan Clarkson are the two guys that they were part of actual conversations this summer when they were trying to make a play for Paul George.
Well, it's kind of funny you mentioned that, and that's the name that keeps circulating throughout the NBA offseason, is exactly what's going to happen with Paul George. And we saw the team that this Lakers team shares a building with at least make a big move the other day. We talked to Brian Seaman, the play-by-play voice of the Los Angeles Clippers, about what's going on with what their plans are this summer. And honestly, we talked a lot about the battle for LA and just trying to make sure that you're the dominant franchise in there. What are the Lakers' plans this summer as far as how much cap space they are? Are they going to try and fill it all, or do they have any motive to try and save some this summer in order for the following summer?
Well, it's going to depend on who makes themselves available this summer. A lot of these guys who are scheduled to become free agents, who are expected, I should say, to become free agents, have to opt out of their deals. So let's say LeBron doesn't. Let's say Paul George doesn't. That's going to impact what the Lakers do. And the thing that the Lakers want to avoid this year more than anything is just chasing after stars regardless of fit. They want the right fit. They want the right, you know, they want the right chemistry. They want to make sure that their guys, their young guys that they feel like are a part of the future of the franchise, they want to make sure that those guys are at a point where they will be able to complement a star in the right way and make that, have that be a good recipe. Because they've seen in the past few years, they've seen themselves strike out on free agents. They've seen the Lakers bring in the wrong guy and have it just not work. So there is, at least with what they're saying so far, there is an effort to be smart about things.
Absolutely.
Now, if they do that or not, I mean, that's what we'll find out this summer.
Absolutely. It definitely seems like all eyes are at least going to be on Los Angeles as far as what both of those franchises decide to do and the directions that they take. Hey, Tanya, I know it's been a busy day for you with shoot around and then getting ready for the game tonight, so I'm going to let you go. But thank you so much for taking the time to join us. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
That was Tanya Ganguly of the Los Angeles Times. Check out her stuff. She does a fantastic job covering this Lakers team. There's a lot going on with this franchise and all their moving parts and what they're going to do, not only heading into the NBA's trade deadline, where they go for the rest of the season, but also the offseason. Make sure you check her out on Twitter. Make sure you go read her stuff on the Los Angeles Times website. Does a fantastic job. That does it for us here at Magic Drive Time today, presented by International Diamond Center. Magic and Lakers getting set for a 7 o'clock tip time tonight. You can catch it on the Magic Radio Network. Dante is back in his chair. We're talking Super Bowl tomorrow with the Magic Golf. We'll see you tomorrow night.
The latest Orlando Magic jersey by Nike is now available in the team store at Amway Center. The cosmic design of the City Edition uniform represents the will to break boundaries and find something greater than our individual selves. The edges of light bordering our universe invite you to go higher, go farther, be limitless. Get your jersey today. The team store is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Amway Center, or visit OrlandoMagicShop.com.
Chick-fil-A has teamed up with the Magic to reward fans with free original chicken sandwiches. If the Magic hit 5 or more three-pointers in a home game, everyone in attendance of that game will win a free original chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A.
Left corner, that's 48-43. Got it to go.
All you have to do is take your ticket stub or your redemption offer in the Magic app at any participating Central Florida location for a free original chicken sandwich. For official rules, visit OrlandoMagic.com/Chick-fil-A.